Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Hey, you know, since it's 5 o'clock, that means Schaumburg Stew's in for Dan the Man again.
I'm here, ready to go.
So if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings over there, so you can always swing over there and check them out. But, hey, you know, randomly stop by. You never know what else might pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet. We're still working on that. But you can get me at Burke Time, and as always, you got questions for Stu, go ahead and send them to me, and I will forward them. So there you go. We're all set. So, all right. Well, we had a, you know, you must have been good luck. You started filling in for Dan, and all of a sudden everybody started signing. We got another big signing today is J.D. Martinez and the Red Sox finally agree to terms, but oddly far less money than I believe was originally reported. Let's see. Do they have an actual figure? They have $50 million for the first 2 years. They did say the contract was front-loaded. And I believe I saw the deal was for 5 years at $110 million. But with incentives, it could get to $150 million. You know, originally they were offering him like five at $125. So I got, you know, I mean, even though obviously this is nothing to sneeze at dollar wise, you know, if I'm Martinez, I'm a little upset with my agent because he lost me $15 million in this deal, you know, even with incentives.
That's because these guys waited too long to sign.
So, yeah, and I mean, it just, you know, and the odd part is signing with the Red Sox. Okay, great. You know, I know they needed some power, but now, you know, they have Andrew Benintendi in, you know, left field. My guess is, you know, Mookie Betts will play, or no, Jackie Bradley Jr. will play center, and he's a Gold Glove winner. Mookie Betts plays right, and he's, you know, just as good as Bradley defensively. You brought back Hanley Ramirez as your DH. You also brought back Mitch Moreland, who had a really good year for you. So now you're looking at six guys for four slots with the DH. Is this a must move an outfielder situation now? Is that where they found themselves?
It could be. And I don't know. Would you consider them the favorites now in the AL East?
You know, I don't know. You would think, I mean, they are the defending champions. You know, you would like to think this addition, you know, I don't know why everybody was complaining they needed power, but again, that's the new way in baseball. It's humorous that you win your division and all they cry about is you didn't hit enough home runs. But, you know, they have such a fantastic pitching staff, but let's face it, David Price has been a bust since signing there. You know, Sale looked like he ran out of gas at the end of last year, so you got to wonder if they can find a way to pace him or stretch him out so he's got it all year. You know, Porcello won 22 games 2 years ago and then was pretty much a joke last year. So, you know, they're a quality team, but I don't know if I would put them that far against the Yankees. I mean, I will say it's definitely a two-team race in that division. You know, because the Rays seem to be dismantling. Yeah, you know, the Rays seem to be dismantling, and the Blue Jays are on that that old White Sox path of signing veteran guys and hope they have breakout seasons for you. And, you know, that didn't go well for the White Sox, but maybe Toronto will have better luck with it.
Well, my preseason pick, of course, were the Yankees to win the division. I'm not so sure now. But I think it'll be a very exciting race, though, between them and Boston.
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of sad that, you know, we're looking at it just being two teams. You know, I mean, you know, Tampa was, you know, they were semi-competitive last year. You know, they were 80-82. And now they have more or less just kind of dismantled that team. You know, Longoria is gone. He's in San Francisco. They just dealt Jake Odorizzi over the weekend. And then in one of the odder moves, they designated a guy who was an all-star last year for them and hit 26 home runs. You know, when they acquired CJ Krohn.
He's designated for assignment, which is incredible.
So, yeah, I didn't understand that move. Obviously, there's got to be something else going on there because, I mean, in the reality of it, it saves the team about $6 million. But $6 million in today's game is about you and I saving, you know, 60 cents on something.
Yeah, for sure. But that's not a major deal. $6 million is nothing, as you pointed out. So that's kind of a funny move.
But, yeah, so it's definitely the, you know, kind of the Red Sox and Yankees world there, and those other teams are just really living in it. You know, unless there's a big fluke. I mean, I don't think Baltimore has done anything. I know they're bringing Chris Tillman back, and, you know, they brought in Andrew Kashner. So, I mean, at least they'll have major league pitchers and still some of the guys they were originally going to run out there. But, you know, they can't compete. The Blue Jays can't compete. Again, I'm clueless on what the hell Tampa Bay's doing. I know they got a good prospect in return for Odorizzi, but A, he's a prospect, and B, he's probably 3 years away from being major league ready. So
I think Baltimore might be 82-80 this year, 83-79 possibly, but not in competition.
You think they'll be that good?
Spot. I don't know. You don't think they'll be 500 at least?
Boy, I don't know. I'm not as sold there on that. They're running out. You know, it's going to be in some form. Kevin Gausman, Dylan Bundy, Andrew Kashner, Chris Tillman, who was bad last year. 2 years ago, he was really good, but I know he battled a lot of injuries last year. Then who knows if they're, you know, for all I know, they're going to be plugging Dan into the fifth spot in their rotation there. So,
yeah.
You know, they do have a good bullpen. You know, if they don't destroy it. So maybe, you know, I mean, then again, if they decide to trade Machado, I mean, there's a lot of ifs that go on with that team right now.
So you're thinking Toronto might wind up ahead of them by one slot, third place, and Baltimore fourth.
I think the advantage for Toronto, Baltimore, and Tampa Bay is they all have to play each other 17 times.
Yeah,
so they're going to get some wins. Yeah. you know, it's just, I don't know.
Exciting.
You know, I mean, none of them are going to be in any type of, you know, wild card contention. So.
By the way, are there going to be any games this week in spring training? Are you actually going to play some baseball this week? Or is that, does that start?
I know I heard WGN advertising their first White Sox broadcast for Friday. So I know towards the end of the week, there's going to be at least, you know, that's at least going to get going. I don't know if anything starts sooner. Let me see if I can hunt down a schedule here real quick. If I, use Dan's favorite website here and see if we can Bing something real quick. Yeah, let's try schedule and see what comes up. So I know I did see that they showed some college baseball over the weekend. They had like the Andre Dawson Classic or something. All right, here you go. Wednesday, the Diamondbacks do have an exhibition game against the Arizona State Sun Devils. It looks like Wednesday and Thursday teams are playing against college teams. You know how they kind of do that.
Right.
And then
awfully,
Friday, it gets
early,
going.
Though? Yeah, isn't that awfully early?
Well, you know, they're starting.
They're playing?
they're starting earlier this year, so.
Right.
You know, they've got everything's going to get.
Well, they better hope that they have some decent weather if they're starting so much earlier, especially if the teams are playing up north.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there are, looks like everybody starts on Friday. There's 16 games on Friday. The Brewers are hosting the Cubs, and the Dodgers are hosting the White Sox locally for us. So.
I wonder how many innings the major players will play, probably two or three innings at most in those games.
You think that? I was figuring one at bat, then they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the guy gets one inning or, you know, I don't even know if those guys will magically appear for some of that stuff. So.
Yeah, you always wonder about injuries because some of these young kids they put in there. And I remember one year when Sandberg was a perennial all-star, and he got very upset when some rookie pitcher in spring training threw a neck ball at him. He said, "How could you throw a neck ball at me?" Say, well, the kid was nervous, and these are things you really have to worry about with the top players.
Yeah, you know, that's always the risk. So, you know, but I know there was another signing. You know, the Diamondbacks were doing pretty much everything in their power to try to bring J.D. Martinez back, even though he really had priced themselves out of their market. They were looking for another outfielder. So with Martinez off the board, they inked Jared Dyson to a 2-year deal. You know, he's always been I think what you would describe as an interesting player. You know, he's never gotten the opportunity to play full time, but he's always posted, well, in this case, since 2012, his lowest number of stolen bases is 14. Other than that, he's been in the 20s all the time, and he hit 30 one year. So, you know, the guy, you know, he's definitely a threat on the bases. He can play all three outfield positions. He won't be a starter for them, but, you know, he's a quality fourth outfielder to add. And it looks like they got him for 2 years and $7.5 million. So it's not going to cost them a lot.
No. Well, money has always been a problem with that team, but you'd like to think that they were pretty competitive last season, of course. And I'm not sure about this year.
So, yeah, and then the Orioles deal with Chris Tillman. Let's see what they got here. They don't have an actual salary number, but it looks like the deal can max out at $10 million if he hits all his incentives. Now, if you remember, in 2016, he was 16-6 for them with a 3.77 ERA in 30 games. Last year, he was limited to 19 starts, pitched in 24 games. Just because I think he was injured right out of the gate. He went a whopping 1-7 with a 7.84 ERA. So he's definitely looking to bounce back. So
yeah, you're taking a chance on a guy who had a down year, but we've seen players turn it around before.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I won't be surprised if he gets himself back to, you know, double-digit wins. I don't think that will be, a big issue for him. If he gets to 10 or 12 with what's going to be, you know, like you said, right around a 500 Oriole team. So.
Yeah, he's had some good years, but, boy, last year was a real disaster. But the injury bug, you know, the injury bug had to be a major factor there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and then we had some, MLB instituted some pace of play rules this year to try to speed up the game. Oddly, one of the things they didn't do was they did not put in the pitch clock after, all of that stuff. But what they did is they limited mound visits to 6 a game. And interestingly, they actually defined a mound visit here. They have it as discussions between a pitcher and position player that occur between batters in the normal course of play and do not require either the position player or the pitcher to relocate. Visits by position players to the mound to clean spikes in rainy conditions. Oh, excuse me, these are the exceptions. Visits to the mound due to injury or potential injury of the pitcher, and then visits to the mound after the announcement of an offensive substitution. Those will be not be held against the team. Other than that, they're given 6 visits per 9 innings, and then additional 1 visit per every extra inning that would be played. So basically, you get 1 visit per extra inning. I don't know. Is that going to speed up the game for you?
I don't think it will. And is this only instituted for spring training games?
No, this is baseball put this in as a rule. So this is going to be the rule. One of the rules this year. I know, surprisingly, the article here doesn't have the other changes they made. I'll have to see if I can get those really, really quick here and see what else they came up with. But I'm not sure how much this is going to speed up a game.
It doesn't sound like there'll be much time shaved off on a complete 9-inning baseball game because of these new rules. I don't see it happening. If they're lucky, they'll get a minute or two difference. But most games will still clock in at 3 hours, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I can't see. You know, one of the things it looks like they're going to try to do is shorten the between-inning breaks. So they're going to have to obviously watch their commercials. It looks like they're saying it's 2 minutes and 5 seconds for a locally televised game, 2 minutes and 25 seconds for a nationally televised game, and then 2 minutes and 55 seconds for a postseason game. Apparently that's a difference of 25 seconds from last year.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. And I've always, especially those commercials seem to be interminable during the playoffs last year.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see how this works because there's a little continuation of it now. It says the umpire will signal for a final warm-up pitch, and the pitcher must throw it before the clock hits 20 seconds because the between break innings are clocked. The batter will be announced at the 20-second mark, and the pitcher must begin his windup to throw the first pitch of the inning as the clock hits zero.
And if he doesn't, it's an automatic ball?
It doesn't say here. The other important change is a pitcher is no longer guaranteed 8 warm-up pitches between innings. It says, however, he can take as many as he wants within the countdown parameters noted below. And then it says the timer will start at the last out of the inning unless the pitcher is on base, on deck, or at bat, in which case the timer will start when the pitcher leaves the dugout for the mound. So,
good luck keeping track of these rules.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. I know they also changed the replay rule, which is really the biggest thing that slows down baseball games. It's unbelievable how just incredibly slow they are with getting the replays, even on obvious calls.
Yeah, that's
so we'll have
figure
to
out. Yeah, like you said, the obvious calls, and even we could see it on the instant replay that it's a no-brainer. They'll still take their sweet time before making a decision.
Yeah. So that's definitely one of the things. I mean, Dan and I have been harping about that for years. It's like you want to speed up the game, fix replay. You know, that's the biggest dog out of all. We'll see if what they're doing can fix it.
Do they play extra inning games in spring training, or if they just can't consider it a Broadway if it goes tied at the end of the 9?
It's up to the team, you know, because in a lot of cases, a team didn't bring enough pitchers, you know, especially if it's a split squad game. So, if a team has a guy who can use an inning or two of work, they'll keep going. If not, then, you know, it's over.
There was a bizarre rule they were talking about, and I don't know if they'll ever implement it, but in an extra inning game, they would start the inning, the 10th inning, for example, with a runner on second base. Have you seen something about that?
Yeah,
have you looked at that? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me, but would they ever implement that?
Yeah,
though? I have my doubts.
I hate that rule so much. Apparently, they're going to test it in the minor leagues, like they do with a lot of their, you know, their rules. And we're gonna see how it goes there. So.
Yeah, I don't care for that rule. I mean, sure, you don't want to see a 19 inning game, 18 inning game, but that seems unfair.
I don't. You know, if it's good baseball, you know, that doesn't bother me. So.
Yeah, I don't think that thing's going to take off, but it's interesting to see what happens during the minor leagues, though, this season.
So, yeah, I'm not sure. You know, obviously, they always try this stuff out on the lower levels of the minors, so we'll have to see if we can, follow up somewhere, or we'll have to, if we have our, Dan and I actually made friends with the guy from the South Bend Cubs. So we'll have to ask him if he's on before the season. We normally have him on if they're doing that. So
yeah, that's a strange rule as far as I'm concerned. But it'll be interesting to see what happens during the minor league games this season. Now, is that going to be at all levels of minor league? It'll be AAA, AA, Single A, or
it'll probably start at either instructional league or low level Class A. Is where they normally test these things out. The weird part is, like, there really aren't that many extra inning games. You know, and it seems just so weird. I mean, think about it. If you're the home team and they go, hey, we're going to put a runner on second for you. Well, you would naturally think all the guy's going to do is bunt them to third and then a fly ball scores them. I mean, you win the game without getting a hit. It's just kind of like, okay, this doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But,
that's a strange rule, and I just hope it doesn't ever make it to the majors.
Yeah, I think it would be incredibly stupid if they did, but, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that, you know, they've done something like that. So, we'll have to kind of watch it and see and... know if it does anything, but hopefully it will just go away. So
yeah, to me that detracts from the purity of the game. But I'm not a DH fan either.
Like the DH doesn't bother me as much. I like the fact that the leagues have difference, to them compared to any other sport. I think that's really what makes baseball unique. So that doesn't bother me too much, but. My biggest problem is the fact that you didn't do anything to earn that. You know, it's just like, here, we're giving you a runner on second. Oh, hey, thanks.
I don't care for it, then. I'm hoping it never comes to fruition in the majors.
I don't know. You know, I get it. They want to, you know, and well, I guess it, I maybe I don't get it because to me, I mean, your team's in extra innings. It's an exciting game. Why the hell do you want to screw it up when, we need the game to end. Well, why do you need the game to end? It's exciting. You know, I mean, what if it's the last day of the season, and your team's in a playoff race and they need a win and they lose because of this stupid rule because you put somebody on second and a team beats you without even getting a hit. And you're out of the playoffs. Oh, hey, thanks. This is a great rule.
I don't think it's going to happen. I can think of an interesting extra inning game that took place in 2016 in the World Series too. That
right.
Where that rule was not implemented. Right?
Yeah. How would you felt about that game if they had been putting runners on second?
Yeah, for sure. That was aggravating enough watching that game. But if that rule was implemented. No, thank you.
Yeah, that would have just drove me you know, just drove me nuts. If, you know, they start doing it, I would be screaming at the top of my lungs at the, you know, my roommate would throw me. I wouldn't be able to watch baseball. Also, I would be yelling at the TV all the time. You know, just one of those fun things. And I get it. You know, it's society now. You know, nobody wants to, well, I shouldn't say nobody, but, you know, kids these days don't want to sit down and watch a 3-hour game. You know, it's too long for them. They can't stay with it with, you know, the ADD society we live in now. So
no.
You want, you know, you gotta speed up for them to keep their viewership. But yeah, I don't know if it would work. You know, I mean, how much do you have to shorten a game to get these people to pay attention to it? You know, they're just going to be looking at their phones anyways. So
it's hard to believe that the record for a major league game in 9 innings is under an hour. Of course, it didn't take place yesterday, though.
No. No, it didn't take place last year either. You know, that was
one of the things before that.
You know, the enjoyment of watching Mark Burley pitches. You know, he worked fast, and it was definitely something that was going to move along. You know, and then you had the exceptions. Remember how slow Steve Traxel was, the former Cub and Met.
Maddening.
You know what I mean? Especially once he got a man on base, he pitched even slower.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I understand.
It was hard to watch.
They have their rhythms, and, you know, I mean, that's part of baseball. But, yeah, it was just really, good Lord, can we speed this guy up? Anything?
Yeah.
So
it can be tedious then. I wonder how long an actual game takes place. Do you ever time it? The action only. No, not counting time between pitches and everything else. Probably 2 hours.
Yeah,
maybe.
No, you know, I know for a while Dan was breaking down just game times. You know, not how much action there was in the actual game. You know, I know you're for the longest time your buddy Stan did that for Raw. When it was still a 2-hour show, and you'd literally get like between 15 and 20 minutes of actual in-ring wrestling action in a 2-hour show. The rest was, you know, commercials and interviews and backstage stuff. So that was, you know, I used to enjoy when he did that. But yeah, maybe I'll have to try that one game this year and break it down and see how much actual baseball is played.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So, you know, I'll have to. Of course, you know, with my luck, I'll get the game that goes 18 innings. So,
right. Double duty.
You know. Yeah. Just how it works out. I actually didn't. I know 2 years ago, I actually live tweeted a couple games. I didn't do that last year. So we'll have to see if, you know, maybe I can get back to doing a game or so of that again. See, if we get you on Twitter, you could live tweet all the Cubs games for us.
Oh, my. See what I'm missing?
Yeah, that would be perfect for you.
It would be. Well, good to see that both teams have 162 games on TV this year in one form or another.
Yeah, somewhere, yeah. So if I can ever find the damn Cubs games, because I just never know what channel they're going to be on.
Yeah, the 2 or 3 different channels, not counting the network broadcasts.
Yeah. You know, that's always... That's always fun for me when I turn on the station and they're not there, and I turn on the other station and they're not there, and hopefully they're on the third station when I get there. So.
Yeah, and I told you the story. I'm sure you remember that the first year they televised Cub games in Chicago, it was on three different channels.
And you had to get the rabbit ears out to make sure.
You had to get the rabbit ears out. They had on channel 4, 7, and 9. And I always remember that. On Channel 7, I don't remember who the announcer was, but the color analyst for Channel 7 for that 1 year they did it was Rogers Hornsby, who knew a little bit about baseball.
Oh.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
You know, bringing that up, I did want to ask you, for whatever reason it is, I have Sirius XM Radio. They gave me a deal for $2, so I took it for, like, I think it was 3 months, because it's not really worth it for me. I'm not in the car that much, but for $2, I figured, what the hell? And I've been addicted to the classic radio shows. It's I think it's channel 148. And the other night I got in to go to work, and they were rebroadcasting this program called The Sports Reel. And for the life of me, I forgot who hosted it. But since obviously you're just a tad older than I am, did you hear and do you know anything about this? Was it like a recap show, like kind of a, that era Sports Center?
The last name of Stern comes to mind. Would have, I'm not sure if it was Bill Stern. There was
I think you're right.
But the first name escapes me. But Stern sound familiar?
Yeah, I believe that's what it was. But to me, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, hey, this is cool. You know what I mean? They didn't cut it. You know, they left everything as it was. So, you know, he was giving us scores and telling us about games that had happened that day. And, you know, sadly, you know, I'm lucky. It only takes me 6 minutes to get to work in the morning. So I only got to listen to it for 6 minutes, but I'm like, oh, this was kind of neat. And I've been meaning to ask you about it because I know, you know, again, sadly, you're just a tad older than I am. And it sounded neat. I'm not sure with anything you ever heard of, but yeah, I think you're right on the name. I'll have to hope maybe I can catch it again.
Yeah, the name Bill Stern. I'm not sure Bill. The first name I'm not sure about, but I vaguely remember that show. And there used to be a local shows too that did the sports recaps. There was one for years that Burt Wilson did in Chicago, with sponsored by Maury Majors Sportswear. Remember that company?
Barely. I remember the name. But yeah, I don't remember much else. So.
Well, like you said, I go back a little further than you do. Just a year or two.
I got a kick out of it. I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, and I don't know why that's been my thing lately, just listening to that. So, you know, I know you're radio stuck on the Sinatra channel. I know you don't turn that off.
Right.
So,
that's my favorite number, 71, I believe it is. But I do have it set for one of the old time radio stations. They broadcast the old shows like The Shadow and some of the other action programs,
yeah.
The Green Hornet. And and Burns and Allen and Jack Benny and some of the old radio shows I used to listen to when I was a kid.
So yeah, I get a kick out of listening to those, just, you know, real short on the way. But I did I'm guessing, I think it was you and I on Friday brought this up, but I'm not sure if you caught this one. But on All-Star Weekend, you know, while the NBA commissioner Adam Silver was given kind of his state of the league address, he hinted at possible playoff changes, you know, kind of the same way, you know, you and I were talking about, where maybe the best 16 teams get in and we get rid of conferences.
That's quite an interesting suggestion. It certainly would help the West.
Definitely helped the West. This year it's actually not as bad as it had been in some years. This year it's actually a little more even. But yeah, I thought it was kind of humorous, and I know this has came up before, but you know, we don't talk about it much here because, you know, basketball isn't a huge priority here, especially with the Bulls being the, you know, pretty much the embarrassment they are.
Right.
But. Yeah, you know, I mean, I thought it was pretty interesting that, you know, we mentioned it and all of a sudden it came up, you know, somewhere else. I believe I saw they need 20 of the 30 owners to approve it. I don't know. Do you think we'll see this at some point in time?
I have my doubts that some of these owners that their teams sneak in maybe with a 41-41 record that might look askance about making a change like that, especially if they're in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. Forget about it. They never make the playoffs with a 41-41 record, would they?
Well, you know, again, like I said, it's a little, you know, it's a little closer this year. You know, like the two bottom teams in the East, 7 and 8, are Philadelphia and Miami, and they each have 30 wins. And right at the bottom, the 8th seed right now in the West is New Orleans, who just has 31. 9 and 10, the Clippers and Utah both have 30 wins as well. So it's a little more even than it has been in the past. What's noticeable is the West is top heavy. You know, you got Houston and Golden State, and then San Antonio and Minnesota, surprisingly, with 36 wins. You know, where the, you know, the really, yeah, you know, the East really has Toronto and Boston, even though it does look like Cleveland is coming on now after the trade. So,
yeah, have they lost since the trade was consummated? They haven't lost yet, have they, since they made that deal?
Yeah. I don't think so since they've made the trade. So, you know, we'll have to see coming back. I know they, you know, they get, literally, it seems like a month off for the All-Star break because LeBron
right.
wanted it that way. So we'll have to, you know, have to see. That's, you know, quite a bit of inactivity. And, you know, yeah, nobody comes back to play till Thursday. So they're, you know, they're off. And
did you notice that I was off in my prediction of the game being 205 to 202?
I didn't see the final score, but I didn't think I saw 200 points.
No,
so.
It was I think it was 145-142. So it was a very low scoring game.
So. Oh, here, yeah, it was actually 148-145. Team LeBron won.
Ah, okay. Right, I know that his team won, right.
And he was the MVP.
No big surprise, right?
Oh no, you know, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, who else, you know, who else were they going to go to, or, you know, where else were they going to go? So that's not a surprise at all that he ended up winning it.
It was a higher scoring game the previous year though, wasn't it? I think that it was more than that. It was more than 148-145 the previous year, I think.
Yeah. I thought they got the 180 the one year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why I was going for the 200 this time, but
yeah.
Sadly incorrect.
Yeah, I didn't watch a minute of it. You know, I have seen the highlights of the national anthem, which was quite embarrassing. I don't know what the hell that Fergie was trying to do, but that was terrible. So they should probably never ask her to do that again.
Oh, was she as good as Roseanne Barr?
You know, she almost tried to do it in a, I guess you would describe it as a sultry way. And, you know, I'm like, it's the national anthem. Just sing the damn song. You know, nobody cares. So, but, you know, everybody wants to make it, you know, it's not like she's not a name already, but she must have wanted to be a bigger name. She hasn't been relevant for a while, so... I guess this is how you do it.
A lot of the singers now who do the national anthem throw some pop incantations into the song and change it a little bit and do it more modern, funky style. And I never liked it when they did that.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't bother me too much until they get carried away with it. And it's like, okay, let's let it go and get the song over. We're not here. You know, nobody is here to see you sing. You know, that's
play,
the thing behind
let's
it.
Play baseball.
Nobody
let's
cares.
Play football. Let's do something, right? But towards the end of it,
yeah, no, you know, no,
ready.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, no, yeah. Nobody really cares one iota about what you're singing. It's like, let's go with
the game.
The actual game. Yeah, that's why we're here. We're here to see the game. So let's do that instead. Maybe we try that, but you know, I don't know. You know, fortunately I don't end up watching too much of that. So
right, exactly.
You know,
right.
I prefer to listen to the Blackhawk guy do it. So
Well, he usually does a consistently good job.
Yes. No, he's. The weird part is I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Yeah, me too.
So.
But he was wasn't he shot in a robbery attempt a number of years ago, and they thought maybe his career as a singer was over, but he was able to readjust and come back and sing it almost as strong as he did before.
Huh. I actually never heard that. That's something I would have. I'll have to look that up and see if that actually.
I think it was somebody else. I thought for sure. Was it Jim Corneliuson? Does that sound familiar?
Yes, there. Yes, Jim Corneliuson. So I wonder. Again, I'll pump him into Dan's favorite search engine here and see if he see if we can find out anything about him being shot at one point in time.
Yeah.
Well, I know Wikipedia is not hugely. I know Wikipedia is not hugely accurate, but I'm sure they would have that if it was on here. It does say that he went to Seattle Pacific University. So.
How?
It doesn't look like they have anything on it here. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It's just not.
Right.
Not listed.
Of another thing.
So.
I could swear that happened a number of years ago. It was a robbery attempt that happened. Nasty thing.
Yeah, and I guess
maybe I'll think of another singer.
He's
I don't know.
He's singing at Indy now, the Indianapolis 500. I didn't know that. So
he's branched out.
Well, he might as well. I mean, that's kind of how he makes his money. So
He does a good job.
Yeah, well, what's weird is, I notice when the Blackhawks are on national television, that's one of the few anthems they actually show. And obviously it's because of him. But
I'm sure. Now, when they play a Canadian team like Montreal or Toronto, don't they also start out with the Canadian national anthem also before they do the American
national
anthem?
He'll actually do both. So he has to be able to land that one as well.
And it's a pretty good song, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem with it. And he doesn't mess with it, with any of that, like a lot of the people do. So that's a big plus.
Well, we'll be able to rest pretty soon because the regular season is over for the Blackhawks pretty soon, and they won't be in the playoffs.
Yeah, he'll get some extra time off this year to do whatever they decide they're going to do because it's definitely a down year there. I know I did message you that they did make a trade.
Right.
Let me see if I can find it here. I know they shipped
Michael
Kempney.
Right.
Right. Is that how it's pronounced? I just wonder how that
is
pronounced.
Right. Yeah.
He went to the Washington Capitals, who the Blackhawks just put up 7 goals against. Maybe that's why they needed a defenseman. And they got a draft pick for him. So.
Right, so we don't. You have to give this a year or two and see how it works out.
Yeah, I mean, he was, he was solid for them, but I don't think he was, ever going to be a top line guy. So I think, one of those deals where he's. He helped out, but in the situation they're in, it's probably better to get the draft pick for them, just hopefully you get kind of worked out.
Get something at least, right? Now, you think that Sharp will retire at the end of this season?
you know, it's probably time. You know, you wonder, you know, if he will. I think he's only on a 1-year deal, right?
So, right. Yes, correct.
Know.
And boy,
you know, there are
so many games. They should even play him a lot of the games.
Coach, yeah, because you wonder. Play. I mean, you know, even if he hits the free agent market, how much interest is there going to be in him?
No, I don't suspect there'll be very much, if any.
You know, I did see the Blackhawks came out and they banned those four goofs who were chanting racial slurs at the walk.
That's horrible.
I don't know what the hell people think these days when you go to a game. I mean, you would figure by now we would be past this, but there's just too many idiots out there. So
you would be shocked at the horribly racist things that the Loyola players who won the NCAA a number of years ago had to endure when they played in their championship season. I mean, beyond disgusting. Like you say, we think it's better now, and it's awful, unbelievable. And maybe it's better now, but certain things never die. It's unfortunate. Now these guys banned for life for the UC, or just I know they were tossed out of the game, but I don't know if they were season ticket holders or not.
Let's see if they say how long the ban is here, if they have a number. Yeah, it doesn't look like there's a number involved here with their suspension. So
I'm sure alcohol fueled a little bit of that, what they did.
Oh, definitely know that.
You know, have 6 or 7 beers, and then start to their baser instincts start to assert itself. Unfortunately, sad thing to see.
Yeah, the idiocy starts to come out. So that's the worst part behind all that. So. Let me see if I can grab this other article. Maybe there's a number in here really quick as I just kind of run through it. But it doesn't look like they put a number on it. Just the actual banning. So who knows? Oh, here you go. Oh no, that was the number of guys banned. Never mind. For first, I thought it was 4 games, but it's just the guys who were actually banned.
No, 4 guys. So. 4 guys are tossed, right? I know the Blackhawks apologized to Washington.
Yeah, I know the Blackhawks did everything they could. You know, and obviously it's not the organization's fault. You know, they can't control the stupidity.
Usually the fans are pretty good in Chicago, but there's one market where by far the worst sports fans are located, and you know who that is, right? No matter what team it is.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, you got that right the very first time. They are nasty, really nasty fans. And they've had that reputation for years. And they are just the worst, most... I told you a story. Once again, I happened to think about it. I think I may have mentioned it before, but you remember Del Ennis. Well, before your time, he was a great hitter. Played for Philadelphia, probably just about his entire career. And one time he went 4 for 4. So he came up to bat his 5th time and didn't get a hit, and the fans booed him.
Yeah.
True story.
Well, while we were on the NHL, being that it's a holiday, we actually have 3 games that are already in the books with 3 more to go tonight. The Minnesota Wild beat the New York Islanders 5-3. The Capitals, get a win today 3-2 first. And the Boston Bruins beat the Calgary Flames 2-1 in overtime. Now tonight we got Ottawa and Nashville. The Blackhawks are actually at home. They're hosting the Los Angeles Kings. And then we have the Anaheim Ducks and the Las Vegas Knights to wrap up the hockey action.
Interesting you mentioned the Las Vegas Knights. And they've got to be the most successful team in their first year in existence. I don't think any team has ever done as well as they have in any sport.
Yeah, I actually believe they've already set that record as the most wins for an expansion team in the NHL.
Right, and any expansion team I don't think has ever done as well as Las Vegas has done.
Yeah, well, you know, I know they they changed the rules for the expansion draft to make them a little more competitive right off the bat. Normally an expansion team is just a hodgepodge of, you know, young guys that teams don't
right.
want. They adjusted that for Las Vegas, and it really, it really worked out for them. They're actually in first place in the Pacific Division with 82 points. They're the leader in the Western Conference. So
amazing. What a season they're having.
Yeah, I know I was listening to an interview with one of their players. They've been dominant at home. They're 22-4-2. And I heard one of their players actually mention that he thinks the nightlife helps them. When a team gets in early for a game, he believes that the guys like to go out and check out the city and do whatever, comes along with that.
Yeah, there's a lot to do, that's for sure.
Yeah, and interesting, they actually have the most points in the NHL right now. They have 82. Tampa Bay is one point behind them at 81. So
it never in baseball, by the way, it never helped the Cubs when their opponents came into town. There's a lot of Rush Street nightlife because there were no night games then. Didn't seem to make any difference, though. The Cubs still lost.
Yeah, I think that's because the Cubs players were enjoying the nightlife too much.
That's probably so, and I believe I told you the story about Eckersley was a starter here and didn't do too well with the Cubs, but, of course, he became a great relief pitcher in Boston. And the rumor was it that he liked a little bit too much of the nightlife, Rush Street in Chicago, and that's why he wasn't very effective as a starting pitcher.
Yeah, well, remember, after he left the Cubs, he stopped drinking.
Yeah.
So that probably helped him out quite a bit.
Yeah, a little too late for the Cubs, though.
Yeah. Sadly, yes. Didn't help the Cubs out much, but...
No.
You know, it did. You know, but yeah, you know, they always used to say Mark Grace was always out real late, and it never seemed to affect him.
No, it was a solid year. Well, he had a few incidents recently, didn't he? Well, a few years ago. I mean, his drinking got a little bit out of hand.
Yeah, he's. You know, I haven't heard much of him in lately, so hopefully he's. Set up and everything's okay with him. But yeah, I think he had a. Didn't he end up getting multiple DUIs in a relatively short period of time?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, this took place in Arizona, I believe, right? Not when he was with the Cubs, but this is later in later years.
Definitely in Arizona, because I believe it cost him his. Cost him his job with the Diamondbacks.
I believe it did, yes.
So.
It's too bad that some people have that kind of a problem.
Yeah, it's ruined more than, one person's lives. Hopefully, obviously, Grace had enough money to get help if he wanted it, and then, take care of his court stuff. Some people aren't quite that lucky. I haven't, like I said, I haven't heard anything about him lately or anything like that, but hopefully things are, better for
I
him.
I hope so. That's why I take it very easy in my Pepsi intake too. I don't try to drink too much.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Humorously, I caught the male cat drinking my Pepsi the other day here. Not that that's sports related, but I know you're a big fan, and that was quite humorous. I walked in, and he had his head in my glass.
I hope he didn't get sick from drinking that stuff.
He was fine. So, but I saw this story, and I'm wondering if maybe you can help me out with this or figure it out. I don't know if you remember the Carolina Panther wide receiver by the name of Ray Caruth,
yeah.
If that name rings a bell or anything like that. But he was convicted of murdering his pregnant girlfriend 17 years ago. Now, he's in the process of getting out. They're actually going to let him out. And apparently, he's going to attempt to get custody of his son, who, if I'm reading this article right, is 18 years old. Do they give custody of 18-year-olds? I mean, he's a legal adult, right? I mean, couldn't...
He's an adult. He's his own person. I mean, how could he possibly get custody of someone who's 18?
Yeah, I was just kind of baffled. I mean, you know, the entire story is just disgusting that he did this, and I can't believe he's only serving 17 years.
Yeah,
but,
that was my first question.
You know,
how could they possibly let someone up who murdered his pregnant with girlfriend, did you say?
Yeah, it was his girlfriend.
And he gets out of jail in 17 years? Does
yeah.
that make sense to you? It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, you know, I mean, you know, I get it. There's good behavior and they're attempting to rehab these guys and stuff. So I'm, you know, I would love to give this guy the benefit of the doubt and say he, you know, no problem. But when you read into the story, I mean, like the reason he decided to kill her was because he didn't want to pay child support.
Yeah.
The entire reasoning. Yeah. So, you know, but oddly, the kid actually survived. So.
Yeah, that is really some story. Yeah, when you see that and you see there our ex-governor who, all right, he did something bad, but how many years did he get? 14, 15 years, and he's not going to, he won't be paroled, looks like, until he served all
yeah.
that time. And a crime is a crime, but I mean, a murder like that, to get out in 17 years, I mean, tell me the logic. I don't see the, I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
So yeah, I'm a little baffled by that one. You know, I mean, like I said, I'm sure they have the reasons, or you know, however you want to look at it. But hopefully he is rehabbed, and I'm thinking maybe he was looking for custody of child because she has cerebral palsy.
Okay.
You know, obviously she was born previously. You know, she was born premature because they had no choice with the
right.
mother dying.
Right.
That.
Sure.
But yeah, I was just kind of shocked with the whole situation. I'm like, why the hell are they, you know, they letting this guy out? But
yeah, you mentioned his name, and I vaguely remembered it happening. Yeah, I didn't believe it was hard to believe 17 years have gone by since that happened.
So yeah, you know, hopefully they, I don't think he should get custody. I don't think they should allow him to have anything to do with the child, who isn't in reality. He wanted dead as well. You know,
indirectly. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, what's changed now, except you've been sitting in a room for 17 years.
But as you pointed out, she has cerebral palsy. Maybe she really can't take care of herself, and he wants to do the right thing and help her. I'm hoping, I'm thinking of something altruistic, at least for him doing that.
I mean, you would hope after 17 years of what he went through, he's a better person now, and he would do the right thing, but you know, I guess time will tell, and we'll have to see. So, all right, there you go. Me, Chuck, Stu, and I have rolled out of it. Look at that. But we're coming back tomorrow. Hopefully, Stu will be able to join us to fill in for Dan one more day. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look what's going on over there. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. You can find me on Twitter as well, at BurnTime. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can find us on TuneIn.com anytime you want. So, Stu, say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.